is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician and an addiction medicine specialist tonight in San Antonio.
Yes, indeed.
You're like Matt Lauer. Dr. Drew? We do that competition where callers call in and decide where you're going to be on any given night.
It's good.
Remember that with Matt Lauer? Did that a couple of years back? He would except for he'd go to Egypt and stuff. He'd be and then you'd have to guess where he was.
Yes. Although,
do you, Drew? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Because here's the thing, Drew. You're like an alien who's never been to this planet before, but you're trying to infiltrate the people. Yeah. So I never know if you're saying, oh, yes, yes, and then reporting back to your headquarters, like asking who this Matt Lauer is, or if you actually know. You know what I mean? Now, usually you say no if you don't know, but I think sometimes it gets so troubling for you to keep hearing me say, really, you don't remember this, or you never heard of that? I'm just starting to think you just go, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that it bothers me. It's that it's so disruptive to the show that I figure, yes, sir.
Right. Yeah. Here's how I know. You know what you know the great thing about Drew, though, is Drew can't lie. Would you say
I say that's true.
Yeah. It's a good quality. Except for if you just say horrible things and you don't care, then it's not, I don't know, I think it takes away from it. But I learned that last week with Dr. Drew and our $15,000 guest. That was awesome, Drew. Awesome.
That's good, huh?
It was awesome.
Actually, now I feel sort of empowered by taking that position because I went to this. I just quadrupled down on my giving to the Hillside Home, and I noticed that there were other people there doing the same thing who refused to give us an opportunity, who refused to cave into this pussy stuff about using the tsunami as an opportunity for PR for people to give charity as opposed to people who genuinely give charity every year.
I
feel actually really good about it.
Good. I like my favorite part is when the guy plunked down $15,000. Oh, are you lucky? And you were saying you just don't know where that money goes.
That's right.
That was excellent.
That's right. Anyway, hey, listen, I'm doing a vaginal rejuvenation surgery in the morning, and spent the day talking to women who have female orgasmic incontinence. Mm-hmm. Finally, that topic has been flushed out for me, so to speak.
Yeah. What about it?
Well, it's that it's really women who also have commonly sort of they're gushing. They have a female ejaculate, but then all of a sudden they will urinate also. So some of them have both going on. And essentially everyone I've been talking to so far, and I'm going to talk to some of the gynecologists tomorrow, the urinary incontinence is part of a more global problem with incontinence, usually. That it's they've had a baby and they're kind of they have incontinence when they laugh or sneeze and then they start having it with orgasm, and there are operations and medication to repair this, and they find it rather troubling. Even though, as I predicted, most of the guys, the husbands, the boyfriends and stuff, they think it's great. At first,
but these are husbands and boyfriends, not Johns and weekend lovers. You know what I'm saying?
You're right, but I went out on the street and talked to a bunch of people, and every single one of them was like, well, is this something I do to them? I make it happen? Oh, I'm on board. And then I say, well, how about if it keeps happening? They're like, oh, again, I get tired of it. But if I can do that, count me in.
Well, they're on board hypothetically.
Yeah.
You're talking to guys on the street.
Right. It's like communism. On paper, it sounds good.
Yeah, and listen, guys are scared. Guys don't want to be called squeamish sexually at all.
Yeah.
They have a big worry. Guys have a problem with that.
Really?
They don't want to. No guy wants to say ooh sexually. Ew.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, you talk to a guy on the street, put a microphone in his face, ask him, what you think about, orgasmic incontinence or anal sex or any of that. It's like, dude, count me. Oh, cool. I'm in. You know? Yeah. Guys really don't want to admit,
Well, I think part of the problem is
it's a horrible sound.
What happened?
Yeah, it's got one of those like satellite hits.
Yeah.
Guys barely want to admit that they're, you know, they don't like to watch those channels that have the surgeries and stuff.
Well, they don't like that. They don't like that you. They don't like admitting that you. And then secondly, there are those passionate guys who are just in. And once those guys come around, the rest of them have to be in too.
Yeah, because you can't have one guy who's like, oh man, after my lady orgasms, I take the sheet and I wring it out and I get every last drop onto my tongue because it's like nectar, the gut. And then you can't have the other guy going, I put a gardening glove on before I throw a digit at one of my girls because it's, you know, there's the cootie factor. Yes. You don't want to do that. So guys all have to have that, oh, yeah, no, I'm down, I'm in. I'm down, I'm in.
Yes.
But the reality is half those guys are into it and the other half are lying.
Yes.
And then number two, by the time you get to month four in the relationship and the guy's, been hit in the face with enough streams of urine, he would probably like to take a little break from it.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes, I'm with you. Hey, what interesting thing happens? Here's an interesting thing that was happening to some of these women is they start experiencing discomfort and their esteem goes down. So the guys are like, all right, it's all right. It's not bothering me too much. The women start freaking out. Just, you know, this is back to them wearing lingerie because it makes them feel sexy. Peeing on somebody doesn't feel sexy to them. And they start dreading sex and start avoiding it and not telling their boyfriends and husbands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, I could see that. And by the way, if I don't know how I could pee simultaneously with an orgasm, but how about
but if you vomit? How about you vomit? Number two. Yes, of course.
Yeah. If I did the number two thing every time I orgasmed, it would slow me down in the bedroom just a little bit. Certainly outside of the marriage, you know, new ladies and all.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. All right, so let's go to the phones.
Let's do.
Tiffany?
Yes.
25?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a so-called boyfriend. I'm not sure what we are anymore. We were in Germany together. We're both military. Mm. We have a son together. He went to Iraq. He just came back. I found out Valentine's Day.
Wow. He can't be older than 3 or 4, and he's already serving the country?
No, my boyfriend.
That's absolutely amazing. Hold on a second. You want to talk about American. You know,
there's plenty of people
that brag, well, you know, I was in Desert Storm or I've been to Iraq. Yeah, yeah. You went in your late teens, 18, 19, maybe 20, 21. I mean, she's 25. This kid cannot be older than 5 or 6 years
old. She swaddled him in an American flag.
And sent him off to Iraq. Now,
that's right.
I don't think you could handle certain jobs. Maybe ball turret gunner, you know, something where a diminutive size would be to your advantage. That's something I could see. I couldn't see out, as a Green Beret or a SEAL or something like that.
No,
just,
that'd be tough.
You know, Johnny Ground Pounder would be tough. But I imagine there are jobs that are suited nicely for a 5 or 6 year old, you know. Any kind
of
turret work would be good. Sure, they could be the guy who actually fed the ammunition belt to the guy in the trenches.
Tunneling?
You
know, tunneling? Underground?
Tunneling? Tunnel rat, yeah, where they got to send a guy in. Yep, just a 45 and a flashlight in their mouth. Go get him. Kid's probably a tunnel rat. You're right. Okay, I say ball turret gunner. You say tunnel rat?
Yes.
Okay. Tiffany, what's the kid doing over there in Iraq? And by the way, God bless you. God bless you for doing
that. I am moved. I'm beside myself. I'm so delighted with this caller.
Yeah. While other kids are just wetting themselves and trying to get into the first grade, your kid is defending this country abroad. God bless you. What's he doing over there?
My son or my boyfriend?
Said your son was over in Iraq?
No, my boyfriend.
He's with your son?
No.
What's the weather?
They're both in Iraq?
What are they doing? My boyfriend was in Iraq.
Your boyfriend lives in Iraq?
He was. He just got back. I found out Valentine's Day he was back.
So he's an Iraqi guy?
No. He's an American.
No, he's just living over there. Okay.
No, he was fighting for our country.
Okay, he wants to go fight by his son.
Oh, God.
I think that's noble. I don't think my dad would ever do that. But let's just keep going.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's going on with us. One, he's not told his family about our son. My mom keeps telling me, oh, well, he's married, he's married, he's married. And I keep telling her, no, no, no. So I want to know if I'm holding on to a dream.
Let me just cut you off one quick
thing. Of him coming back to me.
Hold on. A couple things, Tiffany. First off, you don't have to give the triple reply to the triple statement. Like if your mom goes, he's married, he's married, he's married, you can just go, no, he's not. You have to do. It seems like it makes sense mathematically to do the same amount of no's as she says he's married,
but
one still works. Yeah. Now, what do you mean he's married? He's married. He's married.
Yeah. Well, what is that figure?
He's trying to tell me that maybe he's married because he's hiding his son from his family. His family has no idea that me or his son even exist.
Oh boy.
Uh huh.
Where does he live?
What does he do?
I mean, how do you guys meet? Where does he live?
We were in Germany together.
Mm-hmm. I see. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Oh boy.
Yeah. It doesn't sound well. First off,
our son's only 15 months old.
Wow, more impressive, Dro.
You said he was three,
so
Adam.
I
thought he was three or four fighting over there. 15 months. This is now
incredible.
Book of World Record material.
He's a code cracker too.
This is a wind talker. This kid will be a 4-star general by the 8th grade, easily. That's my prediction.
Yes, yes.
Keep an eye on this kid. All right, so Tiffany.
Your mom's explanation, your sort of deciding that he is married, is actually her attempting to make him into a good guy. Because at least if he's married, that is a reasonable explanation for why he's behaving
the way he is. That's motivation, yeah.
Right, as opposed to the fact that he's just an a-hole, a sociopath.
So am I holding on to a dream that he's going to come back to me?
Yes.
I think probably. We don't know. I mean, we don't know. This is a horrible situation, but you need to really get some clarity from him and his family, too. I mean, he has an obligation to you. He has a child
you need,
with you.
He sends money. I mean, he takes care of his son.
All right.
How long has it been?
We haven't seen each other since July of 2003.
Oh, boy.
Oh, 2003?
Madam Butterfly here.
Wow.
Is his name, God.
Never, I don't know what that soldier's.
I'm screwing myself up by barbering it up.
Yeah. You're in Miss Saigon over there? Are you going to start singing the Miss Saigon stuff?
No.
But
Puccini.
Yeah.
No,
right.
I love him. I do.
Miss Saigon?
I do anything in the world for him.
Madam Butterfly.
All right, sorry. Who am I thinking of?
Madam
All right,
Butterfly.
Tiffany.
Yes.
I know you love him, and I know there's this sort of magical thing that people have, which is, I want it so badly, therefore it must come to fruition. You wanting him to come back to you badly is like you just really, really wanting an exotic automobile that you're never going to own.
Is it Pinkerton?
All you're wanting is not going to get you the car.
Right.
You can't do anything about it. It's not like the car's going to come find you because it feels how badly you actually want it. He doesn't care. He's made that clear. He's also made
it
clear.
He's gone for nearly 2 years. Years out of your
He's
life.
Also
but
made
it was
clear.
Military duties.
He's not a good guy. I don't trust this guy. You shouldn't have crapped out a kid with this breed of cat. You made a mistake, and now you're going to have to get realistic for not only you, but your child.
I wouldn't trade my son in for the world, you know.
Well, that's the weird part about all this. You made a mistake that it was with him, and yet you're blessed with something that you really value. So,
you got a 15-month-old fighting machine is what you have.
I'm hoping he'll take after us, but...
Well, I think he's already started if he's over in Iraq. But look, I don't want to digress. You need to take care of your child, take care of yourself, and move on.
So how do I move on?
Start dating.
Start dating and take care of your child and look at this guy is missing in action.
Yeah.
Or better yet, killed in action.
Maybe
I don't mean
the story accordingly.
But
so
I mean,
what do I do when he calls
ahead.
And he decides to see his son?
When is he going to do that? When's the last time he's called?
Well, the last email I got was Valentine's Day.
What did he say?
Saying that he was home.
And?
That was it. He said that he was getting a phone hooked up and that he was getting a cell phone. yet. I haven't had a call yet.
Right.
Okay. Listen, Tiffany, you're not good parent material. You're a mess. Please try not to screw up your kid.
As far as what you should do when this guy calls is exclude him from, change your phone number, exclude him from your life. It's better your child think that he is somebody else.
Yeah, he's not a good guy.
Yeah.
He a month ago he tried to call or something. I don't understand it. This guy has a child. He has a woman. I don't know what he's doing. You have to move forward. Okay, here's the thing, everybody.
And by the way, that guy probably has children with other women. That kind of guy.
There's a decent point. And they're probably fighting in Iraq as we speak as well.
Of course.
Although they could be older, like 4 and 5 years of age. Let me say this. You can't get other people to do the right thing just because it's the right thing.
Right.
My God. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And everyone wants to know why. Why would he do this? Why would he call and then not, you know, contact me again? Why would he not want to see his own child? Why? Why would Hitler round up the Jews? Why? I don't know why. I'll tell you why. There's bad people. There are people out there that aren't great. There's shades of gray. There's people out there that, you know, kill college nursing students and, have sex with their corpses. That's super bad. Not as bad as publicists, but it's getting up there. Then they're just guys who, you know, crap out a kid and they don't see him. They move to Florida. That's bad, too. Not as bad. Why? There's bad people. Is everyone as surprised by this? Turn the news on. Yeah. They're, you see, you're watching the news. Oh, somebody blew up an embassy. Somebody shot his wife. Somebody robbed a bank. Yeah, your guy, he's somewhere in between one of these guys.
The confusing thing about this, when you talk to that bad person, is they don't feel like a bad person, and they have reasons for what they do. And sometimes they're not bad people, just doing bad things. You know what I mean? It's confusing for people, and because we've gone through a period of history.
Yes, Drew. I don't want to.
Don't go to the tsunami thing again. Yeah, don't go to the tsunami thing again.
No, that's you. I wasn't going to go there, but I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going there again. You can just think about that yourself. I am going to say that if you do bad things, you're a bad person. I'm now comfortable with that.
I'm not
a bad guy doing bad things. If you do bad things, you're a bad person.
We've gone through a period of history where everything was that you can't judge, everything's relative, right?
Yeah.
And so people get confused about these things.
No, they absolutely do. And there's this sort of thing where, well, you don't know until you've walked a mile in their shoes. Just look, I don't want to get to know everybody. If you do bad things, you're a bad person. Until proven otherwise. You see, unless you find a cure for cancer, you know, later on in life, in which case you have some redemption. But until then, you're just another deadbeat dad.
What do you do with bad people that do good things?
Like who? Like what?
I don't know. I'm just thinking there are probably plenty of bad people out there that have done things like found cures for cancer and stuff that, you know, motivated out of pernicious reasons and find something that helps people.
I don't mind that. I mean, if you really break it down, like most of these philanthropists that end up giving tons of money and then get their names, you know, Andrew Carnegie gets his name all over, you know, music centers and libraries and stuff like that. You know, maybe he only did it so he could have his statue or a plaque or his name in front of Carnegie Hall. And by the way, to the idiots on PBS who now have changed his name to Carnegie.
No.
Yes.
Is
it Carnegie Hall now, too?
I knew his great-grandkids. They called him Carnegie.
I know. How can it be Andrew Carnegie and the guys playing Yo-Yo Ma's playing at Carnegie Hall? You got to change that one, too, then you... Don't watch PBS. You'll get angry, but it's Carnegie. Unless there's another group. Unless there's a Carnegie and a Carnegie. But look, I don't want to digress. The point is if you... make millions of dollars, donate it to charity, and the only reason you do it is so they can have a plaque with your name on it in front of the library for the retarded blind midget kids, so be it. All right. Let's take care of a little business here, Drew.
Yes, starting, I was just thinking, yes. Go ahead.
Was it good? Go ahead.
No, you're done. I was just thinking about Schindler's List, and they're saying now that really he was motivated out of much more sinister reasons than the movie even suggested. But good things came of it, you know.
Well, okay. Well, it's Sunday night. It's full moon. We can get heavy. But does anybody, you know, I mean, you can keep distilling this down so that nobody has a positive motivation. Even if your motivation is just to feel good about yourself, well, isn't that sort of, aren't you doing it for you?
George Washington believed that all human motivation boiled down to something he called self-interest. That if it didn't serve your interest as a person, whether it's because of your kids or your family, whatever is interest to you, then it was suspect. Because it has to boil down to the self-interest or it's not real.
Yeah, I agree for the most part. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it gets back to you, meaning you donate to something and you just do it, not thinking about it. I don't know if you do it so you look better or there's people around you pressuring you. I don't know how it goes. But, yeah, I think you could argue that almost everything comes back to the person. But if you're opening a new wing at the hospital and you're paying for it, then so be it. I don't mind that kind of narcissism.
Right.
Starting tonight. By the way, the good folks at iPod have given us, endowed us with the power to give out a iPod Shuffle every night. One,
that's cool.
Yes, one every night for the next 5 nights. And here's how it works. We go to break, and when we come back with a bumper song. Yes, Chris? You know radio. You know
play
bumpers,
one.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Play one.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we play
Dave
one?
Dave can.
Will. Yeah. Yeah. True.
I know it's asking a lot.
You ever think that's going to happen?
No, I know.
Have you ever asked for something and it's actually happened on the show?
No.
Okay. So, when we come back, you will hear some music as we come back. Close your eyes and picture music playing as we come back.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Engineer Chris, do you think you could do Mr. Brightside by The Killers?
Yeah.
You think you could hum it?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think you could hum it. I think you could hum it.
He has a CD. He could play it.
No. Let's just hum it. Let's just try to hum it, and then we'll come back, all right?
Wait a minute. Is that the song we got to hear to get the iPod?
Yes, Drew. You're a genius.
What's it called? Okay.
Mr. Brightside by The Killers. Go ahead.
I can't hum it.
Come on. I'm not asking you to hum it. I'm commanding you to hum it. Now hum. Go.
Oh.
Yeah. Just go.
There you go.
Yeah, just keep going.
La-di-da.
Keep going.
Chris. Uh-huh. Think keep of your going. Career in radio, dude.
Keep going, buddy.
It.
Just keep humming. Hum something. Okay, keep going. You got to keep going. Hey, it's Love Line. Keep going. Keep going. I'm Adam. Oh, we have it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good job, Dave.
Yeah, play Mr. Brightside. Yeah. So you hear this song. And you hear me talking, and then you call in, and you win yourself one of these iPod Shuffles. It's as easy as that, except for when we go to commercial, and Ann explains me something I didn't tell you. All right, so you got it? You hear this song when we come back from break, and I don't know if it's going to be this break. The point is it's going to happen.
Maybe after 11 or whatever.
Could be well into Rodney on the Rock, for all I know. I really have no idea.
Times.
But theoretically, you will hear that, and then you will call in, and you will get one of these shuffles. And I have one. I'm delighted with it. Drew, you have one? You gave it to your kids?
I didn't give it to my kids. My wife took it from me.
And gave it to your kids?
Yeah. The four of them use it. I don't get a chance to use it.
Oh, Drew. It's got to be tough, buddy.
Yeah,
all right. We'll take a little break, Drew, in Who Cares, and we'll be right back after this. Yeah, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew in the San Antonio tonight.
San Antonio at our lovely affiliate, 1027 K-Rock.
God bless them over there. Yeah. Let me say the one thing producer Ann forgot to tell me. Actually, she did tell me, but the one thing she mentioned I forgot about this iPod thing is when you come on, you have to say iPod Shuffle. The hell you
wait,
have
wait,
to
wait.
Say, Ann?
No, so when you call in, you have to immediately say iPod Shuffle when you hear The Killers.
That's right. That's how you win.
And the number
that's
you call
you iPod Shuffle
is the 1-800-LOVE-191.
That's right. You call in, you say the iPod Shuffle line after you hear the Killers. All right, Drew, you watch the Academy Awards tonight?
Not one second of it.
Fantastic, buddy. That's what I can always
do. Do you want me to say yes and not interrupt the flow of the show again, or just tell you the truth?
All right, buddy. Keep telling the truth. Let's talk to Drew. Are you hearing that?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, we get this. I've been getting these horrible satellite hits. You know those satellite hits that make it your fillings shoot out of your goddamn teeth?
Yes.
We've gotten. I think that's our fourth in half hour worth of show. So, according to my calculations, we can look forward to quite a few more of these before the night is through. All right, let's talk to someone's playing the violin. Vicky?
Hello.
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, I have a few different problems which can be called somatoform disorders. I think I heard Drew using that term a few weeks ago. And they are, IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, which I get diarrhea a lot, but mainly only when I go out of the house or I'm, on a date or something. And then also, I'm studying to be a violinist, and a lot of times I get pain in my arms and my back when I play. And I think that these are not so much physical problems as, anxiety issues. And I want to know, what kind of doctor to go to, because I don't think a psychiatrist could understand, the digestive issues, but, a GI might not know how to deal with the anxiety. So I want to know what you guys think.
Psychiatrists all the time deal with musculoskeletal, headache, and GI complaints associated with anxiety and mood disturbances. Yeah. That is what they do.
Okay.
And the interventions that they have are pharmacological for the most part, and they actually take care of very nicely these symptoms. I am a big advocate of talking cure also. I mean, see somebody who's a PsyD or a PhD or who does intensive therapy to try to figure out why you can't regulate more effectively by yourself. That takes time. In the meantime, the medication might help with these symptoms.
I have been on Zoloft, and it hasn't really been helping, but maybe I should change it.
Is the psychiatrist that prescribed it?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you officially have a diagnosis of somatoform disorder?
No, I don't.
What is your diagnosis? Depression, right?
Because somatoform disorder is a bunch of stuff that happens from emanates from your head.
It basically means preoccupation with physical symptoms, or in the family of preoccupations of physical symptoms. It's a non-specific diagnosis, really.
In layman's terms, it's called a Jew. That's its street name. You call it somatoform. I call it Jew. Yeah, Vicky.
Yes.
You got to be Jewish because you're playing the violin and you don't sound Asian.
I'm actually not, but I've been called an honorary Asian because I'm short too.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to make you an honorary Jew.
Okay.
You're honorary, so it's like you got more honorary degrees than Bill Cosby. This is awesome. I had a conversation with my agent about what an a-hole Bill Cosby was. By the way,
nice.
I don't know the man, but he seems to think he is. I always agree when everyone says someone's an a-hole. But you know that whole part where you go get your honorary degree, where they make you a doctor, right? Always feels weird to me, super weird. How about you make me a Super Bowl ring while you're at it?
Right.
It just seems bizarre to go travel from college to college getting doctorate degrees that you didn't earn.
I'd like some more of those. Be
you
great.
Just add some more
degrees. It'd be fantastic. But listen, Cosby actually did get a PhD, though. He was actually at UMass Amherst when I was at Amherst College.
All right, but then he gets his doctorate from other colleges that he didn't attend, too.
Right, these are his honorary degrees, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it just, look, I love the idea of having anything. I would like to have the belt buckle that made me the rodeo champion of any given year, or Super Bowl ring, or any, you know. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have a ring that says, you know, you played for the 1982 World National Champion Nebraska Cornhuskers. I mean, it'd be awesome, except for if you weren't actually on the team. then it would kind of
it would lose some of its
a
importance.
Little bit of its luster, especially when people asked about it.
Yes. Usually if it's the world's greatest and you have a little replaceable plaque in there.
Right. Yeah. I'm just saying the idea that you get these degrees from these colleges is great, except for you didn't actually go to the college.
Well, but theoretically, the degrees are for people who have significant accomplishments that have, you know, like
all
people
right.
that have, you know.
All right. Well, just give them a plaque then. Don't give them a doctorate.
We got to get you one of those. We got to get you something.
I got to get one of those things. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like what they give the Scarecrow in the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah,
they
that's
gotta
what
give
I need.
You a diploma.
Get a brain. Vicky.
Yes.
All right. So honorary Asian, honorary Jew.
Yes.
Yeah. Go back to the psychiatrist and see what's up, all right?
Absolutely. And get, okay. ask for referral to a therapist.
Thanks, guys. And I really appreciate all I've learned from you guys over the years.
Cool. Thanks, Vicky.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Well, have a good night. We never get that.
Isn't it, imagine, mm-hmm. yeah, Vicky sounds like this wonderful person, and yet, it's like, doesn't anybody get to just be nice and happy?
No.
You know what I mean?
Well, she has to torture herself.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. But she's truly a nice person, but she can't appreciate it.
Yeah, well, nice doesn't count for anything with people, at least to themselves. Nobody gives themselves credit for being nice, and maybe they should. Society doesn't give you much credit for being nice. Society gives you credit for being brilliant, interesting, and deep, or troubled, or thought-provoking, but they don't really give enough credit to nice people.
Right.
Nice people make this world a much better place. Yeah. They're sort of like the pets of the human population.
God.
No, it's nice.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you feel good. You know, you come home and your dogs are happy to see you.
I mean, I think there was a time in history where that was really looked upon as the ideal, you know, to be a good person. They're really talking about nice people.
Yeah, being nice is a virtue. More people ought to be nice. It's a great way to be, and it makes people want to hang out with you too. By the way,
but nice people carry a burden always. It's sort of a codependency. But isn't it sad that we're set up that way as humans, or the way we exist anyway today? Is that if you're nice, other people exploit you, make you feel bad, and you don't get to feel good about yourself?
Well, most nice people feel like they're taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's an interesting sort of complexity to being nice, maybe they're not so nice.
Maybe there's an aggression underneath, yeah.
Maybe there's a way of just setting up this self-fulfilling prophecy where, you know, what ends up happening is you're the world's nicest person, so every time your friends want to go out to dinner, you say, wherever you want to eat, that's fine, and then you end up eating at a place you don't want to eat at, and you get resentful.
Right.
But you're still the world's nicest person. But you just complain that people are taking advantage of you all the time.
Yep. Interesting point.
Yes. So who are you kidding, you nice people? Knock it off. I see right through you like a rice paper in front of a Klieg light. Who are you kidding? How dare you, nice people?
Rice paper in front of a Klieg light. What?
Yeah. That's I could see through that.
I see.
You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
I see right through you.
I see.
Like rice paper in front of a Klieg light.
Just making note of the genius of that reference.
Thank you. And Drew, please stop me if I've ever said that before.
Never. That's why I stopped to make note of it. I don't think anybody's ever said that before.
Thank you. Now, here's the real fun part. We're going to ask Engineer Chris if he knows what rice paper or a Klieg light is. You ready?
No.
All right, here we go.
You ready?
No, ready. And action.
Go. All right, Chris.
Yes.
Klieg light.
No, I don't know what that is.
All right. Rice paper?
No.
Okay. All right. All right. See? Maybe not such a genius reference after all, Drew.
Yeah.
Or maybe that much more of a genius
reference.
Is that
with construction or something?
With the rice paper or the Klieg light?
No, the Klieg light.
The Klieg light are those big lights that go in front of the big movie theaters when they do the Hollywood premieres.
Oh.
Yeah.
Such a spotlight.
Like a spotlight, yeah. Okay. Such as tonight at the Academy Awards.
Hollywood and Highland.
You could see those things.
Did you have to drive through all that traffic? Oh, my God.
No, it seemed to break up by the time I hit the road or something. There was a fair amount of it. I guess the Oscars ended kind of early by Oscar you know, standards tonight. I think it ended at like 8:44, something like that. I'd noted, which is, I guess, about a 3-hour and 15-minute ceremony, which is nice. I didn't see the opening act, and I only saw bits and pieces of it. But getting hit hard by these satellite flares, Drew. Really, it's mind-numbing.
You know what? I'm kind of hearing them way off in the distance as sort of a crackly sound.
Yeah,
and,
the crackling sound.
You've had like three in the last 3 minutes, right?
What's that?
You've had like three in the last 3 minutes.
Yes. Yes, it's painful. But I'm a pro, so I'll continue. So anyway, I guess the show was a pretty good show, and Million Dollar Baby seemed to walk away with most of the accolades. Did you see that,
Drew? No, I did. I heard about it.
I heard they got four.
They got four. Did it get Best Picture?
I guess it got Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor, Best Actress, and
Director?
Best Spit Buckets, a new boxing-oriented
nice.
One.
Nice.
No, I don't know. Yeah, maybe Clint Eastwood won it. I'll tell you, you will probably be disappointed when you see this movie. It is not Best Picture material in my mind at all. One of the main... listen, hold your ears if... well, Drew, you don't care. But if you haven't seen it, hold your ears. But one of the things... I would argue that it can't be Best Picture for this one flaw. Just got hit again. At the end of the fight, the hero gets to... has a big boxing match. And the other girl... I'll try not to give away too much... basically ends the fight by fouling her out. As she's walking back to her corner, the other chick just comes up behind her and whacks her in the head and hurts her. Okay? They give, throughout the rest of the movie, there's another half hour worth of movie, they keep referring to her as being so close to winning the belt, but she didn't win the fight. She never won the fight. The reality is you win the fight if somebody comes up behind you and hits you in the head while you're walking back to your corner after the bell rings.
Yeah.
They give you win the fight if you can't continue. That's Evander Holyfield got knocked out of the Olympics because he hit a guy from, like, Sweden a second after the bell rang and knocked him out. And they gave the guy the victory. Because he got hit after the bell rang.
And by the way, it wasn't like he chased him back to the corner. He just swung late.
They were trading in the middle of the ring, and he hit him a beat after the bell rang, and still the guy got the victory.
Right.
If you're boxing, and, you know, the bell rings, and you turn around and start walking back to your corner, and the guy comes flying up behind you and hits you with his elbow, and you can't continue, guess who wins the fight?
That's right.
Yeah, they don't give it to the guy who punched you in the back of the head. That was a huge screw-up on their part.
Yes. I'm going to a moratorium. I refuse to see the film because of that. That will distract me beyond belief.
And they kept going back to this, you know, after the thing, they kept going back with, like, her comically ridiculous, her cartoon family going, well, baby, you lost the fight. Now, don't forget, you lost, you know. And it was like, no, you would have won the fight, and somebody on set or somebody read the script or something should have just got on the internet for 10 seconds. Obviously, this is a bunch of them Hollywood Quimby types who don't know anything about sports and stuff. Any normal guy would have raised his hand and went, wait a minute, the other chick fouled her. She would have won the fight.
Yeah.
Or let's do the math. Did the other chick win because she attacked her after the bell rang? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
All right. Yep. So you don't have to see it, Drew.
I'm not going to.
You're fine.
I'm on a Corolla moratorium.
Thank you. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Corpus Christi.
San Antonio.
San Antonio. Oh, it's same. It's all one big Spanish surname. I don't know, this is really
a pretty town, though. I got to tell you something. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I would come back here. It's beautiful.
You would. All right. Why don't you stay?
Well, because then I take S from you every night.
I mean, you don't have to come back. You just stay. Just relocate to San Antonio. Where's the Alamo, Drew?
San Antonio.
Yeah. Move into that Alamo. Rent yourself a car. I bet the guys who all died at the Alamo are excited that now it's a crappy car rental place.
I'm sure.
Probably just what they had in mind. All right, Drew, on the phone, and this this could be a disaster, but it could also prove to be interesting. We were I was just complaining about Million Dollar Baby, which cleaned up at the Oscars tonight, by the way. On the phone is Gannon, who's 33, and claims that his dad wrote Million Dollar Baby.
Woo.
He can explain it to us, but the guy who wrote Million Dollar Baby is not that old, I didn't think. Gannon?
Yes, sir.
Your dad wrote Million Dollar Baby?
Yeah, my dad's name is Jerry Boyd. He wrote, on a pen name FX Tool, he actually wrote the story about 4 years ago. And Paul Haggis is the one who wrote the screenplay, but my dad was the author of the original story.
Oh, really? Did he get any money out of it?
A little bit, but he passed away 2.5 years ago. So,
oh, my God.
We haven't really gotten anything either. It's kind of one of those things, but hopefully someday we will.
Well, we must have been excited about it cleaning up at the Oscars tonight.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We're ecstatic, jumping for joy.
So what did you think about, well, you can explain the whole foul out thing to me. So what did your dad write?
He wrote a book called Rope Burn, Stories from the Corner. It was a collection of 6 short stories, and that was published in about 2000. And from that, Paul Haggis and Al Ruddy, was one of the producers, Paul Haggis was the screenwriter, he took 2 of dad's stories and merged them into 1 story. And that became the screenplay that Clint Eastwood shot and made into the movie.
Okay. Now, can you explain what my problem with the movie, which was the foul out part at the end?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny. When you mention Evander Holyfield, to put it in perspective, when I was much younger, I actually was at that fight with my dad at the I think it was at the Sports Arena in L.A.,
Yes, it was.
84. Yeah, we were actually at that fight and saw that happen. And it was one of the strangest things I've ever experienced, and it was one of the most surreal experiences, and then to hear you talk about it was kind of funny. But from reading the book and knowing the book pretty well, and yet having Paul Haggis make a sort of a translation almost of it, my take on it was that, you know, it happened. In the movie, it made it come across like it was about the third round. And there were 2 things that happened. One of them was the way that it looked, you know, the referee, they kind of made the referee look like kind of dumb and didn't really see anything happen. So that was part of it, which, you know, kind of almost reckons back to, you know, the WWF or something when the refs don't see things. But but on top of that, from what I remember, a championship fight, if there's a disqualification, the champion, I believe, retains her belt unless she's beaten. And a lot of times, a fight that's disqualified early in a fight doesn't count towards that. So that was the thing.
That's for like an accidental headbutt where there's a bad cut and they can't continue,
right.
It's before the third round or they haven't done 3 rounds, like before the 4th round.
Right.
So here's the rule, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. This is Love Line at its best, which is if these guys are fighting for the championship belt and they accidentally butt heads and one guy gets a cut, you know, the size of one of the Klitschko brothers' forehead cuts and can't continue the fight, then it's a draw. I mean, the fight didn't happen, and whoever had the belt going in continues it.
Right.
If it happens after they have 3 or 4 rounds in the bag, then they go to the scorecards. All right, let's see who was ahead. And it sort of makes sense. It's like, all right, we fought enough to decide if there's a winner or loser. But if the bell rings at the end of the 2nd round, I'm walking back to my corner and you hit me in the head with a snow shovel, I think that would disqualify you and I would probably get the title. But if the ref doesn't see it, is what you're saying, and he just thinks I have a dent in my head the shape of a snow shovel and somehow passed out on my way back to the corner mysteriously, I see what you're saying. So maybe use some artistic license.
Absolutely.
And it could still work. But I still hope your dad didn't ride in the cartoonish family who yelled at her for buying them a house.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. For me, I'd say read the book because it was a great read. You know, every author's family's going to say that. But it wasn't the same way, no. It was close. There were certain parts of it, but it was more fleshed out in the book. But that's one of the things. You know, you take a story, you put it on film, and there's only so much they can put on film in 2 hours.
Well,
do you write too?
No. I don't. I wish that I had my father's talent in that sense. But my dad struggled for. He was 70 when he passed away. He was 72. Pardon me. And he had written since he was about 18, and he didn't have anything published until he was 70. So he was
a bit of
a glutton for punishment. But my dad was actually, he worked the corner. He was a corner man. He was a trainer. That's what he did. So all the stuff about the book really comes from fight guys. You know, when you read the stories, the one thing that Paul Haggis has kept saying is you really got the stink of the gym when you read the story. And I would say to anyone who has any interest in boxing to read them. They're quick reads. It's only about a 300-page book. It's got six stories. And,
what's it called again?
It really does justice to boxing.
What's it called, Gannon?
It's actually just been rejacketed. It's called Million Dollar Baby: Stories from the Corner. You can find it at any bookstore across the country. They rejacketed it so it looks the same. The poster from the movie is on the cover of the book.
Right, smart. Right.
Hold on. I'm going to read the book and not watch the movie.
Ready to go to break. Thanks for calling, Gannon, running up against the break here. His dad was like Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I'm going to kick my dad in the nuts. All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. Get it on. That's what I'm talking about. Got to get it on. Can't not have to, got to get it on. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191-ER. Tried to watch that Academy Awards tonight with my wife and a bunch of her friends she invited over, and chicks can't stop picking other chicks apart, so it's impossible to watch. So you're just sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know, Meryl Streep comes on. It's like, oh my God, she got fat. She got fat. She's not. And then the stupid chick argument stuff starts. She's not fat. That's the widescreen. It is not the widescreen. Widescreen doesn't make you wider. I'm not saying that it's like, oh, like Christ.
Did you run out of the room screaming?
No, I had the dignity to. I took out the fireplace poker in front of everyone. I stood in front of the TV and I fell on it like a Japanese general. It went right through me. And they kept going. Adam looks fat falling on the fireplace poker, one of them commented. That's the last thing I heard before I just saw black. Sort of flatline.
Nice.
Then I hovered over my body and heard them talking.
Nice.
They just wouldn't stop. Yeah. And it's nonstop. It's either crazy praise. Oh my God, she's so beautiful. Where did she get that? You know, where'd she get that necklace? How much? You know, what's that necklace cost? It was either that or she's fat. I hate her. Or, you know, it's like every woman needed to be commented upon.
Right.
Guys don't do that. Like, you know, guys can watch something and not go, you know, oh, there's Tom Selleck. Oh my God, he shaved his mustache. He looks 10 years older with that mustache. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You're allowed to have a guy enter the room and enter the TV and talk and then leave without making a bunch of comments about him and his physicality and what he looks like.
Weird? Yeah.
Yes, William H. Macy has really gone gray.
Oh, they don't limit it just to the women. They're also
going after
the men.
No. It's all chicks. But could you imagine guys?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Just commenting on guys?
Yes. No, not even.
Yeah. Close. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Brad Pitt, you know, he's not that good. Yo, look at Dustin Hoffman's had work done. You know what I mean? Like, and now you get five or six of them in a room. You can't watch anything. It's mission control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You thought you were just going to go watch the shuttle take off from Cape Canaveral, and next thing you know, you just got 30 guys in a room. Like, check, go, check, negative, check, backup sense. That's red, that's green for it. That's countdown in 5, 4, check. That's all it is. Just five. It's mission control for dingbats. Five dingbats watching the TV. I can't hear myself think.
Oh, my.
I had to go upstairs and take a nap, which I may have done anyway. But like, oh, and I just realized.
Did they watch the pre-show, too?
I don't know. I was actually at the hardware store at that point trying to. salvage what was left of my dignity. The Burbank Orchard Hardware Supply is really hopping during the about Sunday night during the Academy Awards. You really get it is dead in that joint. All right, you ready to rock here, Drew?
Here we go.
Let's appendix burst.
Nice.
Nice. Vince?
Yes.
What's up?
How's it going, Adam?
Good.
All right. Well, I wanted this kind of is for Dr. Drew. I was an EMT up in Alaska, and I had an appendix rupture, and it was the fourth rupture. And when they pulled out my appendix, they found a lump in there, came back from pathology as colon cancer. And they said because the, I guess, the bacteria in the appendix had basically sat in my colon and caused colon cancer.
Colon cancer or carcinoid?
Cancer.
Mm.
Colon cancer?
Yeah.
Wow. Had it penetrated the wall, or was it localized?
It was stage two. It penetrated the wall into the periodical fat, and then, but it hadn't reached the major blood vessels yet. And then on Thanksgiving, I had a hepatectomy done. And then,
ooh.
Yeah.
Hemicolectomy.
Right. Yeah. Ascending right colon. But
one of the best engines Chrysler ever built.
Hemi. But no, they took one-third. They take the part of the colon that goes from the small bowel to the liver, anatomically called the ascending colon.
Right.
Wow.
But now, they've got me on stuff called, brand name is XELODA.
Yeah.
And then I guess it's
You take it for a few days out of every couple of weeks, right?
Right. It's 2 weeks on, 1 week off. But now they want to start me on the start date, IV chemo, 1 day treatment.
It depends what they're going to give you, but it's go as aggressive as you can. I mean, what you're taking is an awfully mild form of chemo, but the more aggressive stuff, the more poisonous stuff, if they need you to take it, take it. You got to go as aggressive as possible.
Right. Okay. And then the other thing, too, is I noticed, I've never heard of it. They said I wasn't going to lose my hair, but my hairline's kind of receding. Is that normal or?
You know, when people lose hair from chemo, it's because anything rapid growing, any rapidly growing tissue, hair, skin, colon, just sloughs off, just stops. And that's why people get diarrhea and they get hair loss. And in this case, the frontal hair loss, I don't know what that would be due to.
So anything,
obviously it's something related to it.
Anything that's rapidly growing, like your fingernails?
Yeah, all it gets affected. It gets affected.
And how come you don't
hear... That's the whole idea with the tumor.
Yeah.
Because the tumors are rapidly growing, and that's what gets, you know, things that are rapidly growing get affected by chemo.
Do your fingernails fall out ever? Or they just like grow more slowly.
They grow, I think, slowly and strangely.
Mm-hmm. I've been biting them off. So,
yeah. How was doing the EMT work in Alaska?
It was pretty interesting. I worked in Palmer, and we only get paid from the time on call to the time we're off call, and it's $7.50 an hour. And wow. Now I'm living here with my dad, trying to get on with American Medical Response when I'm done with chemo. So,
wow.
Now, but what is with you having had four ruptures that didn't result, that and none of which, except the last, resulting in an operation? Did they just miss it?
Well, no. When I was in Korea in the Army, I went to 1-2-1 for appendicitis. And the doctor said, well, we know you have appendicitis. Everything says you have appendicitis, but I think you're constipated. I think you have mono. I ended up spending 2 days in the hospital with 104 fever, and then they sent me home. And then I had another rupture, and I figured, well, I'm not going to go to sick call for it because they're just going to send me home again.
Wow.
And then in 2002 on Halloween, a doctor in Simi Valley told me, he said, well, you have appendicitis. What do you want to do about it? And I said, well, I'm with the VA, and I don't know who's going to pay for it. And he said, well, since you don't know who's going to pay for it, I can't operate. And then the fourth one I told my doctor about, and he says, I don't care who's going to pay for it. I'm taking it out right now. So.
Right.
Yeah. That's how Drew would have been. I mean, the first doctor, not the second.
Yeah, my doctor up in Alaska, Dr. Cohen, he's been really great. He's been really helpful with me. And then he said contact an attorney, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right.
Horrible.
All right, well, look, you got to take care of yourself. I know it sounds trite, but I mean... at this point,
it's a serious situation, but that can be okay. They may have got it just in the nick of time, but you got to be as aggressive as possible.
Yeah. I was talking to this kid today, by the way, who told me he was being homeschooled. And this is one of the Chatty Cathys that came by, one of the kids. He said that he was, I said, why'd you drop out of regular school? I said, teacher hated him. I started to take a breath, like, it's like, and he told me this story, and, you know, you don't know if, like, kids ever believe it or not, but they, like, story where, like, she didn't like my penmanship, so, like, when I would hand in papers, she would just look at me and tear them up and throw them right in the garbage can right in front of me. It's like, yeah, I'm sure it's exactly how it goes. But, you know, that's the kid's sense of it, but you always wonder, do they ever believe it exactly? And then, more importantly, do they expect you to believe it?
Well, and not only that, the parents have to co-sign that crap in order for it to be perpetuated. I mean, my kids come up with that stuff every once in a while, and we just laugh at them, like, cut it out, please.
Teacher,
and the whole family
hates
gangs
me.
Up. Yeah, they, are you kidding? Are you kidding? And, you know, but if a family went, really? I'm going to have a talk with that teacher. Then you're done. Then it's toast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got that family that says, they're just jealous.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, they're jealous of your horrible penmanship and bad grammar. All right, let's keep on keeping on here, Drew. Allergic to condoms. 87 nice. Minutes. Yeah. What do you say?
Yeah.
Mary?
Yeah.
21?
Yep.
What's up, baby doll?
Hey. Thank you guys for taking my call. Listening every single night. It's a great way to start my evening.
Thank you.
Start
you
your
say
evening.
You say start. Yeah, do you work a third shift or something?
Yeah, I work nights.
Mm. What do you do? All night attorney?
No. I'm in the military.
On the military?
Yeah.
You don't hear about people in this man's army working all night.
Well, I'm doing base security, so.
Oh, I see. Are you an MP?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Good times.
Yeah. You're just, what base you looking at?
I can't say. I'm not supposed to be on my cell phone right now.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, are you driving around in a Jeep, or are you on patrol?
Yeah, I'm on patrol.
Cool. Itching. Do you have one of those white helmets?
Oh, hell no.
Does it say MP on your sleeve? Do you have a armband that says MP?
No, we have badges on our camis.
Nice. And then when you're done with that, you go into law enforcement, right?
Maybe.
All right.
Anyways, I've been taking orthotricycline for 4 months now, and I think...
Can we just take a beat for a second? Just 1 second. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is, the irony strike me on multiple levels with this call. One is that a group of military personnel who has highly structured lives need to be policed by people who eventually police criminals. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Adam?
It's not all about policing their own, though. It's also about security around the base.
A lot of it is, because, like, what patrol deals with is, like, we've got people from all walks of life in the military. I mean, like, low-income families. And
isn't that interesting? I think that is fascinating. A, number one.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on, Drew. I don't mean to cut you off at the A hole, but... Yeah. I've always said that military people are basically, you know, this is your high school dropouts.
Yeah, but they're in a highly structured life. You know, they're held. You know, they're contained, and they still need police. They still need police.
The high structure leaves a lot of stress in the home. You wouldn't believe how many domestics we have to deal with. So.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go.
Oh,
so
yeah,
this is the guy.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah. All right. And that this should be a young lady doing this.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Interesting. And then number three, so about my birth control pill.
Yeah.
it's just
Drew.
Ironic. Anyway.
We're living in the 90s. You better come to grips with that, buddy. Go ahead, Mary.
So orthotricycline.
I'm on orthotricycline, and I've been using the same type of condoms probably, you know, for as long as I can remember. And I think the tricycline is giving me an allergic reaction. It kind of burns, like the spermicide burns, and like the area can be inflamed afterwards.
Okay, hold on. Why, if you're on birth control, are you using condoms?
Because my husband and I really don't want to have a baby right now.
Wow.
All right, but that's
don't
overkill.
Throw me out of the military for that kind of thing.
I am not saying that people on birth control shouldn't use condoms, because if they're having multiple partners or they're not a monogamous relationship, obviously that's a reason to use a condom. But if you're in a monogamous relationship, birth control pill and condom, that is overkill. Okay, but that being said, it's possible that the pill is causing some what we call vaginal atrophy, that there may be a relative estrogen deficiency down there, and that may be what the irritation is being caused by. So it really isn't an allergic reaction so much as just a dryness and irritation down there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you need to talk to your doctor about maybe something that could be done about that.
And, true.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Finish off with her.
I'm just saying. And then maybe try some different kinds of condoms. I know you've been using the same one for a long time, but try something different.
Let me say this, Drew.
Adam.
I just stumbled onto something I think is going to be very profound and very heavy. So, Chris, you can take the headphones off. Because, you know, it's nothing worse than when you're laying out something that's super heavy and you're staring at your engineer and you look like you're at the aquarium and you're staring at a giant sea bass. Just giving you that look. What the hell? I don't know, even know what you are. Do you think the bass even knows what you are? Okay, here's my point.
I think the bass knows more than Chris does about you.
Are you ready? Are you ready? How dare you? Oh, wait a minute. That's an insult. That's an attack on me. Are you ready to get heavy here? Is everyone ready to get heavy for a minute?
All right, let's be heavy.
Think about this. Think about it is 2005, right?
Yeah.
I say we can do whatever we want until 2020. And here's why I say this. Here's why I say this. Historically, maybe 2015, but historically, you know, you hear about the 90s, and hear about the 80s, and hear about the 50s. I mean, think about the last century. You had the 20s. You got your roaring 20s, and then you got your 30s. You hear about the big boom, industrial boom.
You never hear about the aughts.
You don't hear about the teens.
The teens,
World War One. You don't hear about the aughts. You don't hear people going, oh, man, the crazy tens.
You know what they say, though?
At the
turn of the century.
Yeah, even then, you don't hear too much talk about it. You hear a lot about 40s. Oh, yep. Man, it was World War II. You hear a lot of 50s. Hey, it's the sock hop and all those groups 20s. You never heard of. And then you hear the 60s. It's like the man and the sitar, and then the 70s. And you hear about 80s, all cocaine and Miami Vice. You hear about everything. You never hear about, oh, man, 1908, 1910. You just never hear about it. Yeah, I don't think people really start paying attention the first 15 to 20 years of the decade.
Well, more importantly, there's no aphorism with which to refer to it.
Yeah, you can't call it anything. That's the real thing. Like, people go, hey, buddy, we're not living in the 70s, but you can't do that. Hey, buddy, we're not living in the 2005s.
The zeros.
We're not living in the zeros and with the five at the end of it. Yeah, it doesn't work. Here's my point. Have at it. We can all do as we please.
It's going under the radar. We'll not be judged.
We'll
never hear about it.
No, this is like one of those classes where you don't get a grade. You just get a pass. All we got to do is show up a couple days. We'll be fine. So I'm saying now, you start, and I wonder if it'll be the same in this decade where it's like, I keep saying decade. What am I talking about?
What are you talking about?
No, I don't mean this decade.
Years.
Yeah, I don't mean this decade. I mean 100 years.
A century.
Brain fart. This century, sorry. Yeah, in this century, I wonder if it'll be a lot of... I mean, it's weird. It's going to be weird now, but when, 100 years from now, is there still going to be just mostly people focusing on the 70s and the 80s? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The 50s. It's just that turn thing. People don't remember that much. In 2005, it's like, anyone know anything that went on in 1905?
No, it's gonna be about the 20th century.
All I'm saying is you hear 40s, you hear 50s, you hear 70s, you don't hear 05s. Let's just do as we please. Let's burn this mother down. We'll not be judged. That's all I'm saying. Huh? Heavy, huh, man?
Oh, man, dude, you are heavy.
That is some heavy ass. Marie?
Yeah.
You're 24?
That's right.
What's up, sweetness?
Okay, I've been going out with this guy for since like November of 04. Mm-hmm. And
See, no one's going to remember that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But I've been going out with him for, you know, I guess a few months or whatever, but he's been saying, like, whenever we're, like, intimate or whatever, he'll say, well, you know, we're going to need to have sex or whatever because we'll be doing oral, and he'll say, I can't, like, orgasm from that, so mm-hmm. I want us to have sex. So I was like,
you're here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, fine, whatever, but I want us to use condoms, I want us to use protection. And he's like, well, I can't orgasm if I have a condom on. Mm. And I'm like, okay, so I'm like, well, as long as, you know, I trusted him and everything, so I'm like, okay, fine, just, you know, I'm not trying to get pregnant or anything, so just, you know, pull out when you have to. And
no,
all that.
Pull out doesn't work. Pull out does not work.
Well, let her finish the story.
No, you're right. I learned that the hard way, actually.
But even if he does pull out, it doesn't work. They have some emissions before they ejaculate that's very high in sperm. So he leaks a little bit beforehand. So even if he had pulled out prior to ejaculation, you should be using the morning after pill.
You're exactly right, doctor, because this is what happened. This time he didn't even pull out. He just, like, stayed. And I was like, dude, what the hell did you just do? So I did have to take the morning after. And
what did he say? I mean, he never pulled out, huh?
No, and I turned her. I'm looking like, what did you do? And he's like, oh, oops. And I'm like, oops. What the freak, you know? So
yeah.
Ooh, ooh. Scared me there for a second.
No, I heard it. I'm cool. Yeah.
So I was upset also. So I was like, you know, well, what am I going to do? And because, you know, I was like, I'm not trying to be pregnant right now. I got a lot of stuff I'm trying to do, not just
you. Good for you. You take the morning after pill?
Yes, I did.
Good girl.
And it worked everything fine. It all worked out.
Well done.
I got
my period. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Hey.
But
nice work. We salute and applaud you.
Thank you.
Actually, Drew applauds you while I salute you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
But your question.
Yes, my question is, you know, is he just like trying to pull the wool over my eyes by saying that guys, you know, him in particular can't, you know, can't have an orgasm if he's wearing a condom? Like, can that really be true?
It can be true, but guys don't, there are some guys that don't like how a condom feels or it affects their ability to have an orgasm, or more frequently, it affects their ability to sustain an erection. And there's a very simple equation here. They don't wear a condom, they don't have sex. That's it, period. You're in control here. You are in control. So yeah. You set the standards, he's got to follow it, or ain't nothing going to happen. That's it. Believe me, he will wear a condom.
Yeah. You know the one I haven't heard for a while, which was always just sort of stupid, like where they go, like, it's like wearing a raincoat in a shower.
Yeah.
That's one of those stupid dude-isms that seems to catch on. I mean, it's like, if I thought of that, I would have labeled it a good solid 4.5 and then moved on.
But you know what? I think that came around like the late 70s, and then we believed nonsensical aphorisms like crazy. We like attached ourselves to them. Yeah, that's it. That's reality.
Yeah. Well, first off, it serves a purpose, unlike wearing the raincoat in the shower. But from a sensation standpoint, it's a little better than that.
Yeah.
But, especially if you compare it to the alternative, which is usually not getting laid. That's what the alternative has to be. See, right. You ladies have to make the alternative to wearing a condom, not having sex without a condom, but not getting laid.
Right.
If that's the alternative, then it's a raincoat in the shower at any time.
It's a raincoat on.
That's right. Dog can't smell his own ass.
Right.
You think it was the same dude who did that one?
Probably the same kind of, same kind of dude.
My dog not only can smell his own ass, but can smell every dog's ass, including his own ass.
At 10,000 times the intensity. Oh, I've got a video I was going to give you about dogs sniffing cancer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it's happening. Mm-hmm. Game on. I took my dog for a walk today, and it was just, I had to drag it. It was like...
Why?
It just wanted to sniff every.
Stuff,
it can't stop smelling stuff. I just dragged the dog on his back. Sparks coming out of it. Well, actually, I wasn't walking. I had the leash hooked up to the bumper of my car, but I don't get over 15 miles an hour.
Mustn't that be a satisfying life to be able to just have these glorious experiences by sticking your nose into people's ass?
Yeah, it's just a nonstop sniffing. And then when the dog locks it, you know, the dog's got the all four paws on deck, and it's got the good lean going. Mm-hmm. And I got the two paws on terra firma, and I got the lean going the opposite way. I'm lean. I'm at 45 degrees at this point. Like, yeah. if the leash snaps, I'm going to break my pelvis. Like, the dog only weighs 45 pounds, but the dog is leaning so hard.
I thought the dog had been trained before you got it.
No. The dog is good. The dog does not do its business in the house, and it doesn't chew anything up. But walking the dog is like trying to land a marlin on a. it's really pulling up a world class trophy fish every step of the way. You just fight. It's like I need a fighting chair. Wow. I could belt myself in and just start tugging. It's like you're having a tug of war with the dog. It's like a sled team going the opposite direction. You really realize that that four-wheel drive works. Nice low center of gravity and all four paws on the ground.
Nice.
Dog just rooting, just pulling. Sniffs everything. Started sniffing my ass at a certain point.
Of course.
But it was awesome because we could really make time.
Yeah, you know, you just ran.
I just ran, and the dog... Dog took its snout and wedged it between my cheeks, and I ran home. It was awesome. Let the neighbors talk. That's what I say. We'll take a quick break. Drew out there in Corpus Christi or Fort Lauderdale.
San Antonio.
San Antonio. And we'll be right back after this. Yeah, it's Loveline, madam. That's Dr. Drew in San Antonio at our new affiliate.
Yeah, K-Rock.
God bless K-Rock out there. We will hop back to the phones.
Isn't that a nice song I'm hearing?
It does sound familiar, yes. Seems like one song. I think that's a lot like the one Chris was humming earlier in the evening.
Oh, yeah, it did sound like this, huh? All right.
No,
yeah.
It didn't.
Yeah, it's exactly like it. All right, let's get to the phones and talk to poor Kevin, who's been on hold for... 94 minutes. Kevin?
Yeah.
21?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
You know, on the phone, you can't hear the callers talking. I don't know if you guys knew that or not.
No, I didn't know that. Well, hold on. Maybe that's just because I don't take any calls.
Well, yeah.
That could be.
I don't think you can hear them on the radio either. That's why you've been on hold for 94 minutes.
Yeah.
So you can't hear any of the callers when you're on hold. You just hear us yapping.
Yeah, well, I heard the first two girls that you had, and then after that, there wasn't the last two or three people. You can't hear them at all.
I don't think it normally works that way, but I think we've had some technical difficulties tonight, and we've tried changing some things around, so possibly that was the outcome of it.
And this is Kevin, right?
Yeah, this is, sir. Kevin.
Kevin, did you smoke a lot of pot at one time in your life?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are you off? And you're off it now, huh?
Well, yeah. That's actually kind of what my question was.
Adam. It's not. That's not. I don't have a computer in front of me.
No,
I
he
say a couple words.
No.
I knew immediately this is a former, not an active current, but former pot smoker.
No, I told Drew during the break he was not a current pot smoker.
No, he didn't. I heard his thinking. I heard the quality of his voice, and I knew immediately what this was.
Well, he's 21. He sounds like he's 51.
Yeah, but he's got the remnants of the pot laugh.
Yeah.
There's actually a laugh coming through the pot laugh.
What's happening, Kevin?
You hear that? You hear that?
No, just sounds like the pot laugh to me.
No, because there was enough volume there to actually be called a laugh.
Oh, that's
the pot
true.
Laugh would be much more...
Well, that's good that I'm getting through the pot laughs.
That's right.
So what's
up? The question?
Well, my question is, I have a son now. He's a year and a half old, and I have him with this girl. And I was, you know, a few years ago, I was selling a lot of drugs, and I was into a lot of stuff. And I went to jail for a while. And I'm out now, and I'm working all the time, and I'm getting my tattoos removed. And I'm really trying to, you know, get in school and go places with my life.
Cool.
And this girl is I think that because now that I'm trying to be somewhat successful, that she's like totally not into me anymore. You know, and she says, well, I'm not living with her right now, but she says she wants to move in with me, you know, so we can take care of the kid, but she don't want to sleep with me. And I'm like, well, you know, that's not going to work. And not only that, she got, ever since she had my son, she got real fat. I can't get her to do anything. And,
well, but Kevin, you know how it is. When somebody is sort of not well emotionally, they cling on to and attach themselves to other people who are not well. It's just in the nature of things. And now that you've begun growing and healing, that leaves her feeling abandoned, and she's certainly not going to look at her own stuff and come along with you and grow. She instead would rather the relationship just kind of become distant and fall apart. And that's unfortunate, but that's what happens when people get into recovery and get well from their addictions. Is the other people either come along for the ride and get better too, or they kind of drift off.
But
well,
you know,
see, the problem is, I would like to be around my son and, you know, be an active part of his life, you know.
But you can be an active part of his life without being in an active relationship with his mom. You can still have a cordial relationship with her and stay very active in his life, but just share time with her. Don't try to have a romantic relationship.
You guys aren't married, is that correct?
No. No, we're not married.
All right. And, you know, Kevin is speaking like a true man when he says, you know, she's fat and I don't like the look at her, but she's not moving in unless we can get it on. You know, that's a guy, right? I mean, a chick wouldn't do that. A chick would be like, I'm not physically attracted to him, so if he moves in, we're not going to get it on. You know what I mean? Think about that as a male. Male seems like... She's really packed on the weight since she crapped out the kid, and I'm turned off to her physically. But if she thinks she's moving into my apartment without doubling down on the intercourse, forget it. Is that
incredible.
All you need to know about guys?
That's it. I swear to God. It's so funny. We, you know, for the
he
discovery.
He doesn't like her as a person. He doesn't like her physically. But she's still not moving in unless you can pork her four times a week.
You know, I swear to God, I've been, you know, I'm doing all this stuff.
Is there
on the road.
A female equivalent to that?
No, there isn't. That's the point. I've been learning more and more about the differences between men and women. I'm amazed. We did these masturbation diaries where this couple, you know, sort of documented how they masturbate. And the girl was like, well, today I'm feeling good about my body. And so I think maybe I'll get to it. I lit some candles and I'm planning to pour myself a glass of wine. And then later in the day, you see her going, you know, I got stressed out by the kids. No, maybe tomorrow. And the dude is like, hey, I saw something on TV, so I squeezed one off. I was driving in the car, and I saw a girl in a bikini, so I squeezed one off. And it's so different.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, we're right. And they're wrong. That's all. Kevin?
Yes.
All right, let me explain something. I'll just, you know, I'm no doctor. I'll just put it in layman's terms.
Yeah.
You've made a lot of mistakes, and now you've seen the errors of your ways. You don't want to go back in the joint. And you're working hard to straighten your life out.
Enjoy.
Unfortunately, this chick is a remnant of the old Kevin, the one with the tat on the neck and the one who's dealing the drugs.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, let me just say something to everybody. This is why you can't have kids, because you changed. You moved on. Now you got the old chick, and the link between the old Kevin and the new Kevin, her representing the old Kevin, you representing the new Kevin, is the child. That's the bridge. And you have to walk back to the old Kevin all the time. If the kid's not there, you break clean, and it's nothing but new Kevin time.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And Kevin, can we take a beat and give Adam a little kudo here? Do you have a tat on your neck?
No, I don't, but I have them all in my arms and chest and back and stuff.
All right. That's the only place you don't have it.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks for the try, though, Drew. Here's the point. You need to take care of your kid, and I agree with Drew. If this girl is first off, you break up with her, I guarantee she has another kid with another guy within 18 months.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm already seeing. Does she have any other kids?
No. No.
How old is she?
She's 19.
Oh, she's 19? Yeah, give her 10 more minutes.
And the trauma survivor with all that weight stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure she, does she know where her dad is?
They don't get along or anything. Her dad's a big alcoholic, and I don't think they've talked to each other in years.
But you got to understand, she needs to be with the alcoholic unless she gets her codependency treated. The fact that you're in recovery, you're not using it anymore, that's no good for her.
Right.
And I do understand that.
And here's the problem, Kevin. As the mother of your child, and unfortunately more important than you, I'm just being upfront with you, in the life of your child, mother more important than father, you're going to want somebody who ain't driving drunk.
Yeah.
And ain't hooking up with guys, and I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Uncle Fester, who shows up in 3 years, who's an alcoholic and got himself attacked, including the neck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, see, that's what you got to do now. You got to protect your kid from her bad decision making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the problem. That's what I'm trying to. I don't know, implement her and my son into my life, maybe, you know. And I mean, I'm not in a position now, but maybe in like a year, I would like to just have custody of him, and, you know.
Right.
That's not going to happen, you know.
Right.
Look on the good news, she may just, you know, get so freaked out on heroin that eventually you can raise your child. But,
yeah, there you go.
You know, that's a best case scenario. here's the thing. And that's the other thing, too. She's 19. Where the hell's she going in life? Right, I mean, here's what I would love to happen. I would love for guys like Kevin to be able to break through to chicks like this, tell them they need to go to some Al-Anon, tell them, you know, on behalf of our child, forget about me and you. Let's work on being sane, and let's work on having a good relationship for the kid's sake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The fact, Drew, that these people can crank out kids. I know it just sounds so trite with the, you need a license to shoot deer or fish, but you don't, you know. I know that it's been said 1,000 times, but we know this chick like the back of our hand.
Yep, I know.
Just
she is.
19, dad's an alcoholic.
She's tatted up, overweight now, trauma survivor, drug addict herself.
Right. Dad did lots of abusing, drank some booze, and then he did some boozing, abusing.
Yeah.
And then he hit the road.
He's rambling.
Mom is going to bring, and then Kevin will clean up, so she's not interested in Kevin anymore. But she'll bring a picture of the next boyfriend who comes over to sleep over.
Oh, yeah, please. Please. Huh? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be
abusing and abusing, rambling man.
Right. And as a society, not interested in that connection whatsoever.
No
interest. Zero. No interest. We have a, listen, everybody, we have something that's better than a crystal ball. It's actual science. It's easy to do. We can predict. It's not a guy schnauzer who knows when an earthquake's going to hit Yuma. It's actual scientific data, easy to figure out. We know where she's heading. We can head her off at the pass.
Or not.
Pretty easy to do as a society. Not interested? No. No. Just want to hear.
How dare you?
We hear Bush spew out platitudes like No Child Left Behind. Really? Okay. No. Well, I don't even know what that means. Yeah. Do you know what that means?
No.
How come this guy's, I don't mind Bush, but do you think he knows anything about any of this stuff?
I think he does, but I think he's...
Does he have to pretend like he doesn't know?
I think he's like the rest of them. He has to pretend like he doesn't know, yes.
That's my question. It's like, are politicians that stupid and ill-informed that they don't realize the kind of stuff we see every night and talk about every night, and the easy fixes and changes, or I shouldn't say easy, but the ways you could make effective change in this country, and don't talk about it intentionally, or they just keeping quiet?
Are they keeping quiet?
Okay.
Because I think it's just a more palatable thing to put it on the religious, the clergy.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's something that people can understand. And if the clergy is in any way sophisticated, they'll send it back to mental health.
Right. All right.
But, you know.
Although I did talk to Maxine Waters, and she is, clinically insane.
Yeah.
She just, you know when you see crazy homeless people?
Yeah.
That's what she reminded me. You know when the crazy guy comes down the sidewalk, you just look in his eyes and go, oh, my God. They give him the 5,000-yard stare.
And you look down. Yes.
You look down. You don't want to establish eye contact. He's gonna stab you with his number two pencil in the neck. That's Maxine Waters over here representing. Nice. Where's she represent? California?
It's somewhere in L.A.
Yeah, she's excellent. She's clearly clinically insane. It's awesome.
Nice.
Doesn't
nice.
Know anything. It's awesome.
Awesome.
Nice. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah. You know who won the iPod Shuffle, Drew?
Who?
Jaime Azcaraga.
Oh, wow, old Jaime.
The old Jaime, 26, from Los Angeles.
Speaking of the old Jaime, I'm going to do a hymen reconstruction tomorrow.
Are you?
Yeah.
You know, I've been wanting to get my bee hymen put back together for a while
well,
now.
Well, and after I get the technique down tomorrow, as we say in medicine, it's see one, do one, teach one. So I'm going to do one so I'll be able to restore the bee hymen for you when I get home.
Mm-hmm. See one, do one, teach one. Really, that fast, huh?
Yeah. Listen, this stuff is not... many surgical procedures are pretty easy.
So, yeah, and this one sounds almost like a... Finnish carpentry gig more than it does actual doctor's gig. It just seems like there's certain things where you involve opening people up and getting rib spreaders and stuff, and then there's other things that almost just seem like you're working on a piece of furniture.
Right.
Yeah.
So specialized. Yeah.
Who are you doing the hymen reconstruction for, and what's their reason?
I will meet her in the morning and figure that all out. I talked to one today that had been through it for orgasmic incontinence, and he got a hymen reconstruction. The orgasmic incontinence repair worked, and then the hymen, I was like, what? What? She goes, oh, yeah, well, I wasn't a virgin when I got married, so I want to give him my virginity. I'm like, what? I know. And men are just totally confused by this. Like, what? I'm fine. What do you? What?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
He wants to... Here's the... let me explain, ladies, what's in it, Forrest, on the giving you our... giving us your virginity. It's the part where you haven't been porked by countless guys before us that we're attracted to.
Not the part where we
pierce a membrane of skin that's in your vagina.
It's the territory issue. We don't like other people having been on our territory. That's it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. You know what this is like? This is like... It's like you coming in 45th in a race, but the person saying, we got another ribbon. We're going to string across. You get to break it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, here, 1,000 people entered the marathon. You came in the mid-800s. But don't worry. We're going to take another piece of ribbon and string it across for you. It's like, it doesn't feel that good. I want to come in first. No. We got another piece of ribbon.
And guys, by the way, guys' impulse for this nobody on my territory thing has a biological heritage to it. The one is you just want your genes to transmit. The other thing is, if another guy's been there, you could get an STD and die. So there are reasons to, that these impulses, they're not necessarily good impulses anymore, but they're there.
No, they're
right. They have nothing to do with the membrane.
Yeah, well, what it is, these impulses are sort of vestiges of the past, and they had a context, or they made sense at a certain point.
Right.
And it's the same thing when you start talking about, gallbladders or tailbones or something,
Right,
I mean, these are things that still remain long after they're necessary.
Right.
And I would say physically, there are many traits that many animals have. I mean, physical things that their ancestors had that they needed because they didn't eat food that came out of a can, for instance.
Right.
And this is one of those psychological, sociological vestiges that lingers on pretty much after its useful days.
The problem is it is so powerful, it still affects how men feel about things. But it's something you need to know if you're thinking about giving somebody your re-virgin.
Right.
Re-virgination, you're going to be a virginator.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything to the guy.
No, but it is an interesting thing. Like when you see, your dog, your domesticated dog rubbing on the the footstool and somebody says, well, they put their scent on, whatever. And it's like, yeah, but there's no other dogs. You know, they're not living in a pack. There's nobody here but the maid, my wife, you know.
Right,
but they do it anyway.
Right.
That's how we all are, right?
Right, right. Thank you.
Oh, sad, isn't it?
Yes, in a way.
Wouldn't it be nice just to get rid of this stuff when we, you know, we haven't needed it for 100 years?
Speaking of these impulses, they have this thing here called the Riverwalk. It's just this line of old buildings along a sort of a man-made river. And I thought to myself, and it's spectacular. And I think to myself, what is it about being around water that just makes everything better?
Yeah. I don't know, but there's something... there's something I hate to sound corny and feng shui, but it's got to be that womb. It's got to be you floating in that tub of salt water for 9 months that just brings you back to the ocean all the time. It's just so attractive on in a weird visceral level. All right, Drew. Well, we successfully taken no calls.
That's it. But we can't take one
now. But we got heavy. I'll tell you that.
It's very heavy show tonight. Very heavy.
Goddamn right, we got heavy. Julie.
Yes, hi.
Julie's been on hold for 93 minutes.
Adam, how dare you let that happen?
I can't help it. I had to get heavy. Now we're out of time. Boyfriend's dad is marrying her mom.
Ooh.
Yeah,
still dating boyfriend, wrong? Listen. You're out of the house, right?
Yeah.
All right. Weird, but you're out of the house.
Yeah.
The weird part is going to be when your relationship doesn't work out. That's when the weirdness will ensue.
Right. All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Well, that's the show, everybody.
Not just any show, but a heavy show.
Yeah, we did get heavy tonight.
Heavy.
Woo. Full moon heavy. Sunday night heavy.
Little boxing talk. What?
Yeah. You'll be in town tomorrow night?
Yes, I will.
All right. Just for fun, even if you come in, why don't we set you up in, like, the entry hall?
Just another studio. Doesn't that be the hall? Just you know, even the studio where I can see you. It'll be all right. It'll
be cool. Yeah. Let's do that. We can wave. Yeah. All right. All right, we'll take a little extendo break. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.